Oh, Christ.
Ah, Christ.
When you were walking towards me down the street, I know what you look like. I've known you for 11 years. Mm. However, still in my like social anxiety, as you were walking towards me, I started to think, what if that's not Tim?
Yeah.
Like, but I know it's you. I knew sure. it was you. I could see you clearly, but I was still like, what if I'm just standing here and this fucking guy's about to come into his apartment?
No, I understand.
And I'm not going to
look at you. Like, you're waving at me. He's like,
it took until like 3 feet close to me. And sure. I'd be like, sorry.
But also, like, is that great of an inconvenience for you? Like, oh, that's just the wrong guy. And that's it. Then you move on with your day. But there's like an anxiety. It's like, I will remember this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
How could I have been so foolish in that moment?
I truly doubt my real reality. Like, I doubt the way that I perceive things sometimes. Like, where I'm like, because it's happened where I've like, I woke up one time. I was positive that my covers on my chest were a dog, were like a wolf.
Yep.
And because it was just the way the shadows were on it and the shape. And I woke up and I jumped backwards in my bed as if there was like a wolf.
I think we're talking about different things. I'm talking about like when you hug somebody who you think is your mom, turns out it's a stranger, and then you remember it for like 4 a.m.
Yeah,
you're waking
up
screaming.
Totally.
I was so stupid when I was 5.
Dude, that stuff fucking, that haunts you.
It does. For like the dumbest shit, like the time you give a wrong answer in class in the third grade, and there you go. That shame is, that's now defined you. Congratulations.
You know something that really stuck out to me? We had the same pre-calc teacher, right? Did you have this guy? Old man Logan was his name. I don't remember his name.
Uh-uh.
But he one time said, like, because I had, that Bub. Was right when I first got my glasses.
Because the nickname we gave him. I'm sorry.
It was weird. He like randomly, I had just gotten my glasses because that was right when my for those listening, I wear glasses, but only my one eye is messed up. Uh-huh. I got hurt in the second grade. I accidentally stabbed myself with a pencil. But regardless, I didn't always need glasses. It didn't become a problem until a certain time. And I finally got glasses and I put them on.
I didn't fucking know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah.
No, I'm sitting here just like.
That's why. The left side is glass,
to the wiki. Wait, no, you have a glass eye?
No, the left glass is just glass.
So then what's the other one made of?
Prescription lens. Like, that one's the one that...
Is that a different element? Is that a different, like, material?
Yeah, well, they get that from a different mountain.
They alchemize that.
Yeah. But long story short, I wore the glasses, and he had seen that I didn't always wear my glasses, and I was wearing them, I guess, frequently enough, and he went, what happened? Someone one time tell you looked good with glasses on? And I was like, fuck. And he was really nice, too. He's like a sweet old man. And he didn't say it super nastily, but that's a thing that, like, when you realize someone says, like, dude, I like the way your hair looks or whatever. You're like, fuck. So I guess it goes both ways, as I'm saying. You also can forever remember one positive thing someone said.
One bullying word that took you. That's why those little old men are so nice, is because when they look at people, they see all your vulnerable points. They can see exactly what string they need to pluck to ruin you for the rest of your life. And someone they don't. That's what makes them so kind. They just smile and give you a candy instead of telling you all your flaws.
He stripped it down that time. He really like fucking laid into me. We have a friend, I won't name by name, but it was a friend of ours. And in our freshman year of high school, I remember so genuine. She did this a couple times. I remember so genuinely like walking up to her and being like, oh, I've been really listening to this song. It was like an OK Go song or something. Mm,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, right.
2006, huh?
Yeah. And I was excited about it. I was like, it's cool. It's a band called OK Go. I'd never heard them before. And that was like my very... I remember being like, I know that I should probably have heard of this band before, but I haven't yet. And now I'm excited that I have. And she looked at me and went... Oh, honey, you think you discovered OK Go or something? She said something along those lines, and it really, like...
No!
I didn't even have, like, an angry reaction. I was like, wait, no, I just...
I'm sorry, do I look like a fucking archaeologist? I'm not here to uncover ancient secrets. I just liked this MP3 I put on my...
Seriously, fucking Kazaa.
My big-ass iPod that I could beat somebody to death with.
Actually, I think that was the first... That was the era of the first two tiniest, like, the ones that were too small.
Oh, okay.
Like, where my fingers are getting too big.
Oh, no. There was that weird arc where everything was really small, and now everything's huge. Everything's
what
the most big.
What happened? It's because we got very attached to our computers, and we're like, I want it all the time with me.
I just think it's the people are dumb, and they're just like, it's just too big. It doesn't fit in my hands. And it got too small, and it's like, I can't see anything. Well, and now we're back to... I love it because it's big. What innovation.
But look how much I can see.
Like, we could have just skipped 10 years of development and just stuck with the big thing.
That was the joke in Futurama. It was like Amy's cell phones were always little, tiny, like, barely in between two fingers.
And in Zoolander, too. He's got...
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Very funny.
How wrong we were.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes predictions of the future could be a little off.
Right.
Especially when you're Blade running.
Sick.
You gotta be stalwart with your predictions when you're a Blade
Smooth
runner.
Smooth as hell.
Especially when there's 2049 Blade Runners.
Right,
in
sure,
one room.
Yeah. Tim, just before we even start.
Okay.
You were way off baseline.
And I can't help.
Why do you always have to say it that way?
Haven't you ever heard of a little thing called showmanship?
None of my words are making sense. What does he say? A series of cells.
Yeah.
That is just that ripe, yes.
A series of cells.
Or a series of cells or something. That is ripe for like exploitation. Yeah. Like, I'm gay. A family in a house. I'm gay. A dog in the yard. I'm gay.
Oh, damn it. You got me. I'm stupid.
You are way off gay line. Jesus Christ.
There hasn't been a movie in a long time that was good at taking itself seriously in this way, because
so
it does
make fun of it.
It just begs you to want
to
make fun
it.
Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Robin Wright's haircut. She's like, what if she just, it was wet all the time.
I was like the big projection, like leaning down, like, hey, sweetie. And then it like turns into a hamburger, because now it's like a McDonald's commercial. And he just like shakes his head, walks away smoking. This world is not what it used to be.
See, that was my issue. I didn't see enough McDonald's advertisements.
I know, there'd be way more.
In this weird future.
There would certainly be way more.
It was very cool. We saw a welcome to Reasonable Beef. I'm Tim Kish. I'm joined with another man form Voltron. Yeah, and Dom's here. What's
if
up?
We were the only pieces of Voltron, we would be like a hip and a leg. Yeah.
It's dragged, just like an arm dragging itself towards the danger. Three fingers.
It's me, Dom. Yeah. Not even full, limbs, just like two teeth. Did Voltron have teeth?
I don't know, but probably. He was a go lion.
Christ.
We saw Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. Oh, first, we don't have a guest today for the first time ever.
Yeah, this has never happened.
Yeah, it's very strange, and we don't need him either.
I was about to say, what if this goes better than any other one, and we're like, wow.
I mean, I already feel better without him here, so I think we're doing good.
Him specifically.
So we saw Blade Runner 2049. Yes. It came out this year, 2017, year of our Lord, and it's directed by Denis Villeneuve. Dingus Villeneuve.
Yeah, that's him.
Did he also direct a photography of this? I don't have my phone on me.
No, Roger Deakins, man.
Oh,
famously,
okay.
Roger Deakins.
And who is he significant for?
He's just very, very famous. Like, I say this hesitantly, but you could nearly say, like, as far as when people think Spielberg director, you could say Roger Deakins, cinematographer. Like, dude's the dude.
Sure. So it's a very stupid noob question I just asked them.
No, that's fine.
I'm probably like, what a fucking
idiot. I mean, this is also right now in my head. I'm trying to like scroll through all of his movies, and I'm
Deakins. He did.
It's funny. He's just, again though, he's like one of those names. He's just, I hear it all the time.
Sure.
But I'm not a cinematography boy. Like,
so
I don't.
This is just like pure fashion struck. It's like, I know his name.
I know that he's the
what
dude.
What a guy. But anyway, so the movie
like
happened.
Will be blood and shit, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, we saw this movie. It stars Ryan Gosselman, and it also has Harrison Ford. And who else is in this? Oh, Robin Wright is in it. Yeah. The guy,
David Bowie.
David Bubkus. Yeah, David Bowie.
David Bowie.
Well, I actually read somewhere that part was originally supposed to be played by Bowie.
Is that true?
And unfortunately, he passed away. Yeah, because it would have been.
Oh, that would have been great, man.
Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, so you and I. This is an interesting one, because this is one of those movies where, like,
I think it fucking sucked.
Well, good. Great. So let's get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. Tim didn't like it. I did like it. In recent memory, by the way, Roger Deakins shot Skyfall. Again, stunning.
That's probably the best one.
No Country for Old Men. I switched.
Oh, okay.
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, wow. So you can definitely, and yeah. I mean, I will give it that. You can feel that pedigree behind, even not knowing who, that's why I asked who the director of photography was, not even knowing it, just watching this movie is like, fuck, what visual storytelling.
I have forever attached you to my memory of watching Blade Runner for the first time, just because we watched it together for the first time in your basement. And I think it was like one of the first times I ever slept over your house. Weirdly enough, it was like very beginning of high school, and I remember both of us like
watched it on cable. I think
I bought the DVD. One of those ones of like, well, we've never seen this. We should watch this. Wait. I missed that time, but I remember it ending, and both of us not really having anything to say. Like, not in a bad way. We were just sort of like, I guess we should just sleep now, because it is like a weird one to digest a little bit.
Let's think about that one.
And it's weird. I mean, that's the thing, and it's this is a weird movie to talk about too. Like, because on the surface, you know, I just watched it for the first time. I watched with Amber's first time. We watched it, and she didn't really like the first one, and I understand why. Because when you think about the pitch for this movie, you're like, it's cool. It's very cool. It's super stylish. It's super slick. It's a cool world. Mm-hmm. It's very mega. It's pretty slow. They don't say a lot of stuff, and. It's really slow.
Yes, and once in a while, there'll be loud screaming from from a Greek man synthesizer.
Right.
Welcome to the fucking future.
And it is a weird one. Like slow burn is a weird pitch now.
I mean, absolutely. We were just talking about this. My friend John pointed out a trend to me in trailer editing that I didn't notice before because I'm very stupid.
Sick.
The first 5 or 6 seconds or so of a trailer is a supercut of the biggest action sequences in that trailer. It's like boo, doo, 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 like the Pacific Rim trailer. First 5 seconds are the robots firing their fists, psh, 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 and then Warner Brothers. It's like, oh, I see. We're all just really dumb, and you need like the big bombastic.
Yeah. Here's what this is.
So that's why I think it's frankly insane that this movie was $170 million production, because I mean it's doing okay, but it does really not fit the mold of the standard blockbuster or $170 million kind of a movie. I could see 90.
Sure.
Which is what it made it on its opening weekend, but...
And see, here's the thing with this. Like, people are really excited to talk about why it didn't destroy at the box office and everything.
Those were early numbers. It's doing fine.
And it's like... But, I mean, it didn't come out, like, really swinging. And it was like... And people loved it. People who like... These kinds of movies, the original Blade Runner, they love to talk about why, like, well, of course it didn't do it. Like, people don't want this kind of movie anymore. Right. Like, well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I don't know, though, man. It doesn't...
Yeah, like, they cast Ryan Gosling in a movie they didn't think would be commercially viable. Like,
yeah,
he wouldn't be here if this wasn't something worthwhile.
I guess what I'm getting is I think it's cool that they did put that much money into something like this, and that...
It's absolutely cool.
And that it is really slow. I mean, this is like... I don't remember. What was the last movie that
I can't think
of. Big movie that came out that was like 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
I cannot think of the last one.
And that's cool to me. And I was on board. You were just bored.
I was just off board.
Yeah.
Off being bored in the theater. So I was eating a sandwich. I brought a sandwich in.
Cool.
There's no one around me. Yeah. So I enjoy Blade Runner, the first one, I think. Because I haven't seen it.
Kind of don't really remember,
years.
Sure.
And as I'm. I think mostly I just enjoy things influenced by Blade Runner. I replayed the video game Snatcher for the Sega CD. Okay. It's Hideo Kojima, creator of Metal Gear, his first games. Thank you. And I loved it just because it was like paced. It was well paced, and it's everything I love about Blade Runner and everything I love about Terminator and just like all that shit brought together in like a cool dystopian future. This I feel like it's extremely slow and it's not intelligent enough to earn that pace. I think the questions that it's asking, where it's, should these robots be counted as people because they're more or less people? Or what is AI? Is AI truly a person who's thinking? These are questions that have been raised and answered about Brazilian times over the last 20 years of cinematic history.
And I hear you.
I think that in order for a movie like that for that long to work for me, I need to be caught on like a philosophical level of wow, these are questions that are stimulating me. But around it's an hour and a half into the movie, he still hasn't met Harrison Ford's character yet. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like what has actually happened? He's gone here, he learned some things, he got some bones, came back, survived a little bit, learned some things about the bones, thought he was the guy, and then went to the Red Desert.
Right.
Like, that's everything that happens in an hour and a half.
Yes. So I will say to counter that, though, this was one of those movies where I appreciated how simple the premise was, how it was just basically like, there's a baby was born. We're going to get there. They got there pretty quick, which is also like, I will say that
a baby was born and it caused a little stir.
Right.
I don't know what the next line is. Something about cat.
One fine day with a wolf and a
pet. Yes.
Right, sure.
Okay.
Cat dog.
Please.
I like that because this is, again, these are weird movies to talk about because I feel
one fine day with a clink and a whir, a baby was born and it caused a little stir. Human bot, human robot.
No, the chorus is still cat dog. Oh, weird. Okay. Weird choice.
Okay, I'm
sorry. But so, like, I feel like this is the kind of movie where you're either under its spell or you're not. Because all this kind of thing is up to is here's the simple. Even the first one, it's like there are replicants that were created to do work, and now they're self-realizing and they're fucking people up because they're too strong and we messed up. We mm-hmm. probably shouldn't have like given them human faces, mm-hmm. but here we are.
It's just like teddy bear heads. Yeah, none of this would be
or
happening.
Just like a fucking just a face with two dots. Like I don't know.
That's true.
They can't talk. Whatever. Besides the point, they get super simple. These cops chase the bad robot people. And then now we get to just live in this soup that it is stirring for us.
Right.
These cool images and these cool, like he's going to smoke him. There's not,
sure.
like the action sequences
we're
aren't
not
amped up.
We're not tackling the morality of the concept of Blade Runner.
No.
Although we are, but it's not going to be resolved.
But it's not, yeah, exactly. We're just going to kind of like live here for a minute.
Exactly.
And enjoy. You're either down with that or you're not. Like I could compare this to my feelings about Mad Men in a lot of ways. Because with Mad Men, that was one of those weird. And I'm not usually like this. I'm usually very much like, dude, what's your story? Who's your character? And I guess in Mad Men, you could say the character is so strong that propels a lot of it.
Sure.
But like with Mad Men, I was more often than not continuing to watch it just because I liked the texture of the people coming up with advertisements and smoking cigarettes all the
time.
And drinking whiskey. Like I was like, okay, cool. I can be like, I'm down with this.
Right.
Blade Runner, similar for me. When I rewatched it a couple weeks ago, I was just excited to sit in that, in those colors and in that, on those streets and have fucking
noodles. See, it's funny that you say that.
In the rain.
Thinking about, of the 50s, guys smoking cigarettes and advertising, you live in that world and it's an inherently unethical world. Like,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
They're not good dudes that are doing this, but for what, it's the grittiness of it.
It's compelling.
I don't agree with this morally, but like,
yeah, no.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's a similar thing with the Blade Runners. Like, I'm just going to be here with these robot murderers.
Yes.
And contemplate the questions.
So with this one, you know, it was like in the beginning, I noted in my head, I was like, oh, this is just about, like, they literally lay it out. Find the kid. There's a child. Find the child. That's
right.
What everyone wants. Is what the bad guy wants. That's what the good guys want.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. We're going to go from there. I will say, though, like, even in the bluntness of that, though, I was worried when this movie started because there was a lot of not good dialogue. I wouldn't say bad. I'd never say bad. And I wouldn't even say poorly acted or poorly directed dialogue. But, like, it just wasn't great. It was very stale. A lot of stale stuff.
I mean, and that's another one of my big points, I think, why the pacing also felt as glacial as it was because not only was the concept of what they're talking about not mm-hmm. super interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
what they were saying was also not super interesting to me.
Sure.
The interactions with Robin Wright's character really sticks out to me as having a lot of poorly written dialogue of this breaks the world. That's a stupid line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And it's like, and a lot of the ways that she, I guess it's the way she's being directed. Maybe I just wasn't feeling like when he finally delivers the news, like it's dead. Or
right.
What it's done, the thing you wanted is done. She goes and puts her head down in like an outrageous sigh of exasperation.
God, damn,
and
I was scared.
Wow. Yeah. I almost thought the world was over.
Yeah, bullet dodged.
Holy cow.
Thank you a lot.
See, and that's a perfect moment
robot.
Of like she should break down in tears of
right.
this hard woman. But I mean, that's not the story they're trying
sure,
to tell.
No.
So let's get away from that for a second. To your point,
mm-hmm.
that was a big issue that I had with it, was I think what they were saying was stupid.
See, but here, this is interesting because I'm hearing what you're saying, and to me, it was less do robots think, or, you know, what's the line between artificial intelligence and like actual life or whatever. Like, I wasn't really what was pulling me. I felt like what this was up to was more about, when are you allowed to feel like a feeling is real? Like, when is it justified? Like, like his wife, this thing he loves, like, and that was to me the big question. It wasn't so much a depressing final answer of like, oh, well, like, you know, when he sees the big projection of her, she was just a robot that said everything I wanted her to say.
Sure.
Like, she knew, she learned my personality, and like, it seemed more like, oh, does that invalidate it though? Because I don't know if it does. And that's more to
right.
me, that's more what I like in this was taking away.
But
was
more
like
the question with Joy for me is that she's compelling him to go rogue, essentially. That's what this AI is doing. So if somebody, if an AI that was working within the parameters of what it's supposed to do, of like, you know, placate society, which is, I mean, what that thing is supposed to be, right?
Sure,
it's supposed to keep him from going crazy and killing everybody,
right,
have some semblance of normalcy. If she's encouraging him to go rogue, is that working within the parameters of what she is? Or maybe she was developing some sense of self-realization herself.
Right, but
that was, and that was the, that was a relatively interesting question,
yeah,
right?
And I don't know the end. I don't know
exactly, and but I the way that it's presented is so just like not tasteless, but just like poor tasting for me. It's
it
just like,
feel like a little
on.
Flat,
it's
a little
just,
flat to you or something. Like
I would
a little...
love to watch this movie at 1.5 times speed. I swear to God, I swear to God, because and I know that sounds very strange, but
I kind of know what you mean. I mean, and it's this is also again that whole value of your time thing now that keeps coming up of like, and we, you know,
right,
there's a lot of good shit going on. So it's funny when something like this comes up that really is like, nah, strap in for 3 hours, like. You maybe have less patience
than
you
would. And Nick gives me shit for it. Like, Tim, what's wrong with a long movie? What is wrong with a long movie? Nothing's wrong with a long movie.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with a meandering movie. This is not... So what I said the other day was, this is not a meditation. This is a meanderance. Like, they're not like sitting there like, let's think about these questions as we walk through this world. Like, in a lot of ways, I think Ghost in the Shell is a better version of this movie. Not the live action one, but the original one.
Sure.
As far as questions about AI and an atmospheric dystopian future. And I mean, that likely owes a lot to Blade Runner.
Sure.
But that's to my point. Of these questions that are typical Blade Runner questions have been raised by all of the influenced things over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And I just feel like burnt out on this premise.
I guess I wasn't. It felt like a... It's to my point of... When are you allowed to think that feel like something is a real thing?
Yeah.
Like, does it matter if you just decide, you know what? No, this was a real feeling I had, so maybe it was real.
Sure.
Like, and same thing with him feeling like he was real for a second. Like, he has a fucking he has a breakdown.
Right.
And then it's kind of invalidated. But is it?
Sure.
Like, does that? But then, but he remembers that. Like, he has that memory. It was put into him. He had an emotional reaction when he picked the like. So does that mean that what he felt was fake? Because kind of no, right?
Absolutely. When they talk about, and feelings are just chemical firing
right
in the brain. And I think more to the point is that, why does the future not matter to any of these people? It's all about an obsession with the past and what has become. Like, he has the opportunity to go rogue and become whoever he wants to be, but he doesn't, because he's so tied up in not having a past. And that's what they talk about with why they even put those memories in there in the first place, is to be an anchor to society, to make the replicants feel like they have some kind of stake in the world.
Sure.
Which I dig. Like this is all shit that's very cool around the edges and auxiliary. And like, the way the movie looked is awesome. I love the minimalist futurism of the headquarters of was it Wallace? Is that the new guy?
Yes. Yeah, Wally. Wally was it was.
Whatever.
Wally the robot who he's picking up trash.
Oh yeah. Okay. And Eve.
Yeah, I would have honestly, if like fucking Ryan Gosling or whoever walks, Harrison Ford walks into the big headquarters, and Wally just rolls up.
That'd be great.
I'd be like, hey, what's up?
I'd be like, oh, by the way, Disney owns everything.
Yeah,
hello.
Same shit, boys.
How are you? Oh, it's a snake eating itself, really. Hang on. What were we just talking about before that? The robot. Okay, visually.
Yes.
I want to talk about the visuals for a second. What I find really cool about the aesthetic of this movie is that it's not a new future. It is like somebody went back to the 80s, thought about a distant, like a near future, while you were in the 80s right. and then did it in 2017 fidelity, which is kind of really fucking sick.
Yes.
And honestly, I would like to see that done with 50s sci-fi, like Jetsons ass looking shit and like ray guns, but yeah. done in 2017 fidelity. That would be fucking rad aesthetic. So I think yeah. any time you take a... like something that's very old and classical and then reimagine it with look at what the fuck we could do
now. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a winning formula.
See, that's why this movie costs as much money as it did, by the way. Like Blade Runner was how tethered it was and how positive they were that we want to be in the actual places and we want to build these big right. giant fucking sets. Like they built the absolutely. Wallace headquarters and everything. And so like
future Ryan Gosling's future apartment
yeah.
is the so fucking comfy.
Yeah.
Everything looks dirty, but it's also like super futury.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Good aesthetic.
And that's, I mean, like I appreciate that. And I wish that was more the temperament right now. And this is, I'm going to just jump into the echo chamber of like it should all effects should be practical CGI is like, or see when they do CGI it's practical
and which is like I get it's a fair point to make but I
feel, wait what was the point
the point was like yeah
I don't know fair point he's, yeah, so he's talking yeah. sense
raising number two look what I can do
but what does that have to do with me
no he's got a point.
I think we've gone too ambitious to an extent. I think that there's too much of look what we can do and then too much of that stuff. Even when you can objective, like you could look at a frame from one of the, you know, fucking Geostorm or something and you're like I guess that looks real, right? Like that looks like
we'll talk about Geostorm.
I guess that looks like a real building falling, but like but it just doesn't register for some reason. It gets categorized as like, oh, pretty good CG. You know what I mean? It doesn't, right. You're not falling for it anymore. So I like, and even in the Marvel movies, man, like I wish they, like oh, I yeah. want, like take a step fucking backwards because now we can
that's
do.
That's my fear with Infinity War. It's like, oh so God, now, yeah. now we're going to space.
Yes. and we can do so much. Like
are
I
we
feel like.
Shoot on location?
Now the things I want to see are smaller things done better, which is a thing that Blade Runner's doing in this.
Sure, like
it does these smaller effects.
Look at these future forks. Like, that's fucking rad. I love that shit. Look at the future utensils and future sink.
Yes.
Like, this is all new shit that we spent money on.
The phasing with the AI and the
yeah, that was neat.
The prostitute coming. Like, that stuff looks... Like I was like, I've never really seen
that. There's a future prostitute. She has like antennas sticking off. She's chrome.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. She was, I forgot. She was a replicant too. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I see what you're saying, but I guess I was under its spell while I was there.
Sure.
I didn't realize how long I'd really been there, but it felt like I was part of this long thing. Like I was really
sure.
investing. I weirdly enough, the last time I felt this way was like, and it's a stupid one to compare this to, but like in Civil War, I remember watching it and thinking it kind of feels like a book. I feel like I'm reading something that's really world hopping and like taking its fucking jolly time.
Well, you know what? I want to raise it. Because that was a movie that was, what, 2 hours, 20 minutes?
Oh, sure.
Doesn't even feel like that at all. Because I was just so invested in that story. And then it brought me into the world. It brought me into Derry.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I get this place. Like, I really do.
I get what you did.
And
what
that
you
movie
did,
fucking
though.
Cooks.
Yeah. You're right.
I don't know, man. It's because more shit happens.
They talk more. Like, see, I see what
no
you're saying because
slow pacing.
There was a point. I think it was maybe when he got to the orphanage place and he was fine and he finds the horse. I don't usually think this, but I was like, you're being slightly self-indulgent at the pace here,
right?
Because we know now, and I'm all for hanging on and let us think as he breaks down and we hold on that shot for like 20 seconds. But like the whole walk over to it,
yes.
I was like, there's no reason, like this didn't have to be this long. And, but again, this is a director weaving a spell. This is an editor. Like that's a calculated decision of them thinking, I think it takes about this amount of time for you to really, for the exact sure. anxiety that I want you to have when he's walking over to resonate, and it's clearly resonating with lots and lots and lots of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was pulled out a couple times on those moments.
And that there's a meter there, I guess, where there's an anxiety that I like to feel when I'm watching a suspenseful movie, and then when it blows my top, I just get pissed off and I'm done. Like, I don't want to deal with it.
Right.
And I think that that's what happened here. At a certain point, I'm just like, come on, fuck on.
I was a little disappointed.
I know I'm repeating myself over and over again because I keep having the same problem with the movie. Like, it was boring. Not enough happened. But fucking, it was boring and not enough happened.
That's fair. I was, to tell you. I did about halfway through, and it was like it was just a vague thought in the back of my head. I was like, I'm kind of a little disappointed because it seemed in the beginning like more was going to go on.
Right.
It felt, I was like, fuck, there's a kid somewhere out there. Like, oh, there's replicants can have babies. And like even just starting with that kind of traditional fight in the beginning. But it was interesting because they were doing like, even with that opening sequence of the fight scene, they were like, yeah, so we're going to give you that. That's what this is like our kind of, this is the way you open like a big movie now. But it's even though... But we're going to do it our way, and it's still going to take, like, 6 minutes before someone throws a punch, and we're just going to sit in this dark room.
See, and
like,
that's when I thought it was very effective.
Yeah, that
like,
was cool.
That suspense building, I was just like, something's going to go down. Like, is he going to want to kill him? Is he going to kill him?
Right.
Like, what's happening? And then when he's smashing him against the wall, it's like, fucking hell.
And it doesn't really ramp up quite like that again.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it never really... When it sets it up like that and says like, hey, look, this movie's going to take a minute and it's going to be a slow burn. But trust me, once we get there, we'll get there. We'll get you what you want. And then it never comes, I think, it never makes good on that promise again.
I think what the misstep is for me is because now I'm like thinking back too. And I mean, honestly, like the final sequence of In the Water and everything, that's pretty fucking sick. Like that was a good, tense fight sequence.
Sure.
Like, and I was in the, I mean, a lot of that movie, even in parts that weren't, quote unquote, I mean, I guess this is the point, was that they were tense scenes, but like normal scenes in that movie, I was just like sitting on literally the edge of the seat, kind of like with my arms crossed, like very, and I would realize the scene would end and I would go, like I would relax and sit back, and I was like, oh fuck, that was like,
wow,
having an effect.
Physical
on me.
Response. Yeah,
yeah, that was like, that was making me tense up. Just to, I mean, everybody, you know, this is obviously a huge part of the movie, but there is something really neat about this big movie like this, starring Ryan Gosling as a cool ass Blade Runner. And he's not the guy. Like, that's our, we find out at the end, nah, you're not the dude. Sorry, like, you're not the prophecy child. You're not.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's neat.
Yeah. It's neat enough. Just didn't.
But I see what you're saying, because this is all, like, you can lay this all out in the how long we've been talking about this, 25 minutes, and that maybe all sounds very exciting and very compelling, but if it didn't keep you there when you were watching it, like if it wasn't,
absolutely.
You know what I mean, then
I mean,
yeah,
it's great
fair,
it's like when somebody tells me about a show I'm not watching and I'm like, oh well, that sounds great, like, oh, I really like that theming,
but I'm
it's
never,
very interesting, but is the moment to moment worth my time? And a lot of times it's just not. And that's the way it is with like a lot of classic novels. That's how I feel about a lot of classic novels, where it's like, oh well, this is where a lot of these story structures come from, and this is where this character archetype was born, and that's an interesting theme, like that's a seminal theme that will be applicable through all generations, but I'm not going to read 4,000 fucking pages of this Russian ass book to get to that, like the descriptions of their meals and their caravan journeys. It's
all right, Tim, I keep telling you, it's not in Russian, all right?
I need cliff notes.
Read my book, okay? I don't know how many times I have to ask you. You're my friend.
Let's talk about Geostorm for a second. Holy shit, man. Holy shit.
It got
shit.
A good laugh
That's
in the theater, man.
That's an incredible trailer. It's a fire tornado.
Telling me someone is using space to change the weather?
I think the first line is like, it's 2149 and we have control of the weather.
Oh, is it really in the future?
Something like that, or like a very near future. It is just the most nonsense trailer I think I've ever seen. And it cuts to a bunch of army guys like doing stuff. Oh, like, we need to stop the...
We need to do the thing.
We need to stop the thing. It's incredible that there's still disaster movies. Like, people still want to see that. Like, I feel as if the world is so close to the brink of oblivion, nobody's going to want to do that right now.
Well, here specifically, we're in California, Southern California, where no one should live.
Right. Yes.
Like, geographically speaking, we shouldn't be here.
The weather's really nice and there's no humidity. Sometimes the earth opens up and tries to consume you.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, you know, the palm trees are pretty.
You know, it's really the place, like if you're trying to get in the entertainment industry, like it's just the fact of the matter is this is where you have to be. And also there is the possibility of you falling into the magma beneath the surface of the planet.
Absolutely.
But you know.
There's a longstanding Hollywood. Tradition of sacrificing the young and virile to some kind of fire god.
Right.
And that's all Los Angeles is.
But it's cheaper to shoot here, you know, because it's...
oh, you get tax breaks. Right. Oh, disaster movies.
Yeah, it is. That, I mean, that's an interesting point of what... Where's the line between a thing that's in the zeitgeist or in the... Like, we're all hovering around. Like, we're kind of scared of this thing happening.
Right.
But it's not too far into we're scared of this thing happening that we're, like, turned off from it. Honestly, like... And maybe it's weird because it is very... Like, it's obviously... pretty exaggerated. It's a pretty like, mm-hmm. but like Handmaid's Tale or whatever, where like that was almost uncomfortable. I almost stopped watching it because I was like, this is a little too
in the era of Trump.
Like, yeah.
And we're not quite sure what. Well, it's still, it's early. Right. Because we're still in the aft end of like everything that was okayed in the Obama era is now coming to pass.
Right.
So anything that may be off, you know, slightly off key or like, oh, that's not really good for right now. Like, Eli Roth is releasing a remake of Death Wish, right?
Sure.
Which is about a man whose wife and daughter are raped and killed by a bunch of colored hooligans.
Oh, cool.
And he gets a gun and takes vengeance to the streets. Now,
helpful. Yeah, no.
Right now.
Yeah, no, that's good.
With
that's
the
good
current climate, I'm wondering if that's the best plan. But I kind of, so Eli Roth's kind of gross. And I think, and Bruce Willis, he's they're kind both of kind dick. Of conservative leaning guys. So I don't really. Love that right now, but that was probably okay 2 or 3 years ago, like before,
right, or at least a year ago. But that's why TV right now is a more finger on the pulse, kind
absolutely, because it can bend and it's more malleable.
Well, because think about it, this, like I'm trying to think of an example. Like there was a bunch of shows I was watching last year. By the end of the year, they were referencing the election coming up.
Yeah.
Like even when like, and that was foresight because they were shooting it. But then like, how long did it take into your TV shows where all of a sudden Trump things started getting said?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, well, that's kind of crazy. I mean, you think they were only shooting that, you know, what, sure. 5 months ago?
Well, maybe. It's funny because this is the hack wheel has sped up. Infinitesimally, the thing's moving at like 80 miles an hour right now. So when you're talking about jokes, in I think episode 9 of the recent season of Rick and Morty, there's a line where Rick says something like, "Oh, way to go, Beth, you did something or other," and she goes, "Fake news," and it cuts off. And I went, "Ugh," like it really left a gross taste in my mouth.
I didn't love that,
and I'm like, "That was." Ugh, like that's just so stupid.
But again,
and I'm like, oh, that was written like 6 or 7 months ago.
Right, that would have been piping hot.
Yeah, like absolutely. So it's not really the show's fault
for
running that hack joke, because I mean, it wasn't hack 9 months ago. But what other time in history has this happened?
Well, this is getting rid of the Twin Towers in Spider-Man, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like maybe you should.
Like it's just shit where you're like this is interesting, because where's the pendulum actually swinging in this movie? Is this another one of those things where it's like internet bad, you know, looking at your phone all day, bad, it bad for you, it bad for life? Or is this sort of kind, my take on it would be that this is sort of kind of justifying it while, of course, raising risk.
What are you talking about? I don't understand. What are you referring to?
So there's been plenty of things that have come out recently about like technology's bad, man, and like us always being on our phones is bad, and we're getting too reliant on all these things that blah blah blah, and they're changing our reality, and we're, you know what I mean, we're not living actually in our real world anymore, and that's bad. And there's again, my reading of this has very much been like, but is it totally? Because again, we've talked about this, a weird one to pull again, but with our fucking stupid phone games. Whereas like, if it takes me $3 to pay for an item in this game that gives me a true endorphin burst, is that not okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that unjustified or invalidated?
And also how, in like the era, you just look at the world, you look at the way that structures of power are set up, and it's, of course I'm going to look at my phone and not do anything. I have no chance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is my retreat from this. Where it's like, well, you kids are always looking at your phone all the time. It's like, oh, did you fix the world's infrastructure and economy and made it viable for us to all have careers? Oh, you didn't? Okay, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to keep playing Dragon Ball Z now.
Yeah.
Until you decide to fucking die and I get your inheritance.
Cool.
That's the way that works.
By the way, can I have $5 for gems?
Oh, God.
I really need these gems.
But I mean, the answer is that is probably shitty.
My question is, what is this up to? Like, would you say that this is making that point again of like,
I think this is the era of the young needing to voice, do their rebel yell, kind of like in the 70s. Mm. We're reaching that point again where, like, there's a bunch of shitty expectations put on the young generation. So instead of a bunch of very comfortable, like, failed Hillary Clinton liberals, like Hollywood, like super rich Hollywood people telling us what we need to do to fix the world, I think it's kind of time for a new generation of people. And I think we're really starting to see that. I think more people are being more vocal about being more, to make it political, about being like more left and being a little bit less like, okay, the system guy was Donald Trump, right? So we followed all the rules, and now we have this fucking joker, this real this real son of a gun
truly,
in office.
Truly something wrong
so
with
his brain.
So what
is the point of anything? Like, why is there any kind of systems? Why are we following any of these rules of these fucking, like, stupid suits that have just glad-handed us for the last 30 years? So I know, I'm going off on a big political rant, but
it's like this shouldn't have happened.
For the first time, this is, you know... There have been dudes saying this, like, the politicians are lying to you, man, forever. And for the most part, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm still comfortable. Like, things are okay. Yeah, and now they're not. Now things are not super okay. And now people are getting less and less comfortable. So now this is the time we were actually going to start to see things start to move and see that reflected in media.
It's interesting. It's a cool time in a way.
But I don't know what that's going to look like.
Me neither.
Perfectly honest. Like, is it going to be a bunch of dour stories? Or maybe it's going to be, like, just utter surrealism of, like, look at the fucking... Like, how can we write jokes when Donald Trump is the president?
Right. Yeah, I mean, my instinct is go inward more. It's like, you know what? We're, these broad strokes of what's going on in the world are... weirdly enough, I have a little bit of a cynical attitude about movies changing big things.
Real quick, before we go there, I want to double back to a point you made earlier about looking at your phone. Bad, 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 bad.
Yeah.
Ready Player One is coming out.
Sure.
Is the plot of that it's... I'm hoping that there's some kind of twist in that says, like, oh, maybe this is bad that we're doing this. But from all the marketing materials and everything I've heard about the book, it's just that, no, this is great. The Ninja Turtles fight the Iron Giant.
It's a little bit about... I mean, but this is my... In everything I ever feel compelled to, like, write or whatever, it's about, like, the moderation. It's about the finding what's the middle between living your life in this fake quote unquote fake. But then, because then that's the other question, is once there's all those people there, how fake is that anymore?
Right.
That world where you're talking to people quote unquote face to face, your former relationships with people, does that
right? And to tie it back to fake? Blade Runner,
yeah.
I mean, that's a very similar theme, yeah.
But, like, I don't think this was just doing AI questions. I think this was more about your response to AI, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, there's AI questions like, hey. I'm a robot.
AI,
I got a question for you. Am I real?
Yo, AI, want to go get a fucking sub. I also like how... I didn't think I was going to bring this up, but now I have to. In the first movie, I don't know how much you remember, but the scene where he and Rachel finally get together is, I mean, it's really bad. It's really bad. Yep. And I'm not just jumping on like this because it's fun to do. It's just like,
yeah, it's
uncomfortable. It's really weird. It did not age well at all.
Sure. It's funny how, like, in the world of art criticism or whatever, a lot of that shit used to be written off as, like, you know, accept something that makes you uncomfortable, accept the art that makes you uncomfortable. And I think recently the conversation has kind of changed to, like, okay, so what does sexual assault add to something? Yeah, like, does this elevate this scene or give it a subtext? No. Like,
well,
they were just going to have sex.
That's
and
the
Harrison
problem.
Ford's like, oh, I should probably hit her a bunch of times first.
He
chokes her and, like, holds her down.
Stops
and, like,
the door from closing and he says, like, kiss me or, like, tell me you like it or something. And you're like, Christ, bud, what is this?
No, not to say that people aren't into that. There's plenty of people.
Right.
But there's no...
It doesn't look like, though. Maybe
they didn't care to show consent or informed consent.
Maybe it's a directing thing in that scene of that movie.
Right.
But she looks upset.
Yes.
She doesn't look like she... Like, it's seductive and kind of hot. It's like... She's kind of like... I like it. Like, you're like, fuck, dude.
And I guess, like, okay, maybe it's because she's a replicant and it's humanity's attitude towards replicants of being less than people.
Oh, okay, sure.
But also, he likes her, actually.
Right, I mean, really, like, he does like her.
Like, emotionally. So, even if... I don't know.
Point being, it's weird, but I like what.
So this is me trying to rationalize as an artistic decision instead of just like a kind of exploitative one.
I think it might have just been a note that didn't ring out as sour as it does now.
Yeah, in 1982.
It was kind of just like,
sure,
nice. And then the detective gets the girl. Like,
and Harrison Ford is considered like the rugged guy the day. And sure.
Which that's, I mean, that's uncomfortable. Like, that makes me feel weird. But what I was, in this movie, I found it interesting. I was kind of, it was funny. I was like, I kind of hope they just don't go near him and Rachel. Like,
yeah.
And I, why would I ever think they wouldn't?
Right.
But like, then there, Ryan Gosling's watching them play back that the fake interrogation they have, like, where she's like, well, what would you ask me? How would you, what questions would you ask me? And then Ryan Gosling goes like, she likes him. She's provoking him. She's trying to get a response out of him.
So after 35 years,
they're like, just so you know, she liked him.
Just canonizing
because
that.
He's a robot and he studies people, like he can see in her eyes that's actually she cared.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just addressing like, that right off the
just
bat.
Just quickly, let's get that shit out of the way.
But that's probably for like, the fine. Best,
yeah,
maybe.
I understand. I guess I. That's better than.
It's just so funny how much stuff, like, as society, you can think of the same thing about fairy tales. When we cut so much shit out of fairy tales, like, maybe she doesn't get raped and get her heels cut off.
Right.
Maybe that's
not
how Cinderella should play
maybe
out.
It's not quite giving us the message.
And, you know, and we change things. We adapt things. I mean, that's a lot of our beloved cartoon characters, the reason why they wear gloves, that's a racist thing, guys. That's
a minstrel thing?
Supposed to be like a minstrel performer. And that's pretty much the only thing that survived is cartoons wearing gloves.
Well, the animation thing through the glove. I know there's also an animation reason. I can't remember what it is right now, but there's a reason. There's something about it being easier to
do hands gloves instead of hands
with the gloves. But I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, look at Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Look at him. Just take a look at the colors of his face and then his body and then his gloves.
Don't ruin Mickey for me.
Come on.
You already did it to Mr. Popo
and Jinx.
All right. Don't you take Mickey from me. I did really like this. It had me. It worked for me. Mm-hmm. It was getting reactions out of me. And I also, it was one of those ones where I kept thinking about it for like a few days after. Not in a philosophical way necessarily. I wasn't like toiling with the questions it brought up, but it was just, it's stuck to my mind.
Absolutely.
As did the first one.
And visually, like, I think helps with that too. Just how fully realized. I mean, we've done enough of this. You could say it's a similar aesthetic to the new Alien movies, right? Just kind of like near future. Everything's kind of minimal, but still a little dirty.
Sure.
But this is just so much more fully realized than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, I mean, just because it's on
also,
one planet.
Like, this is just, the movie is so well made.
Yeah.
And that's, I hate the word technical because it's not, I don't think of it as a technical compliment. It's like, again, we talk about the deftness of hand, of like the sure hand behind something. And this has that in fucking space. I mean, like,
it's just that
it's undeniably crisply
unexplainable
made.
Artistic sensibility that you just either notice and have an eye for, or you don't.
But it's, I always argue, and this is, people always get on my, you know me with sound, right? I have such a fucking, when we're in movies and we're watching something.
Sound design in this was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, great. But I mean more like, how many times have we been watching something where I'm like, I know for a fact I would bet money on that there's a speaker behind the screen right now that's not on, or there's a whole level of audio.
Oh, absolutely,
a whole rack of audio that's not on. What would you call it? Like a whole layer.
Right.
And people go, well, no one's noticing. You're the only one noticing. But it's like, but I don't think I am. I think that you don't realize when you're not, or when something's not loud enough.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. And it's like, it's not because, yeah, sure, you're watching it, you can hear everything everybody's saying, but you're absolutely not having the same reaction you would have if it was louder. If it was, if you were completely wrapped into it. So it's like with stuff like this, maybe someone doesn't walk, you know, they're not in the parking lot of the movie theater thinking like, wow, the deftness of moment to moment and the just the visual language of this was so strong and was truly pulling an emotion out of me. Maybe not, but like they had their reaction inside there and you could always attribute it to this stuff that maybe was they weren't even aware was happening. Did that make sense? That was a weird like.
I know exactly what you're saying. Where it's something that they're not actively thinking about because they're not noticing, but it's actively
it's doing
affecting
something to
their experience. Yeah.
Yes,
even if you don't have an eye to notice exactly what the problem is.
Right.
Just to talk about the movie sound design really quick, I did think it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack was, oh God, I hate to say this, I did find it mildly obnoxious. I did. Just because it's, I do love that sound too. I love the neo-futurism, but fuck man, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was very, very loud.
We're in an interesting era of...
It's like if the THX sound played like 17 times through the movie. That's a... Like every right. time they're traveling somewhere.
Yeah, but I see it was effective for me. And this is coming from someone who I could probably say I dislike scores that are soundscapes. I like...
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Theme. I want to hear that this is his theme, and I like, you know, almost mix it with new shit and make him bump it up a way, but I like a classic orchestra sure. inside of a movie. But even so, this to me, I was like, oh, these noises are adding to why I'm uncomfortable in this moment.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's like stupid to point out, but I don't know. It was sure, effective
there's always
for me.
There's always some kind of underlying but sound almost in every scene.
I agree with you in that it taking you out of it or you noticing things, because we are in this weird time of true big swings or true like you know, we're gonna do something kind of bold or weird. It's a dangerous game. It's always been a dangerous game, but I feel like right now when something sticks out as like we're trying to do something different, it can ruin it for you. It can mess you. Like we talked about it with King Kong and the fucking pterodactyl right. slash. And that's a weird one.
Because
that's
yes,
that's
the
like
green
a,
gas.
Yeah. And that's funny because it's like that whole movie is very poppy and crazy. But still in that shot, you're like, okay, he's like, you can feel the director. You can feel the choice. You're like, you're sure. doing a thing now. Like we're in this weird time where we watch so much stuff and there has unfortunately in each decade, each fucking couple years has their own form of this, but like you get so wrapped into the gray mush of what everything becomes, of what kind of everything sort of looks this way, and a thriller kind of looks this way, and right. horror movies looks this way, like, and then when you see someone do something different, you either go like wow and you're gripped and you're like, oh, I love how this looks, I love how this was, or you like, you could have the thing where you're like, I guess I like this, but it's super obvious. Like it's pulling me. I'm not in the story anymore. Yeah. I'm so aware that this was a decision someone made, that was the choice for this moment. We're going to do like,
yes.
I'm like, I can feel them laying in that sound effect. Like
very clear, intentional.
What if like right here we scream?
But I mean like that had to be somewhere. I mean, 10 years ago, someone in horror movies was like, wait, what if we like clang something metal real loud every yeah. time something happens?
My favorite thing
and
is
it still happens.
They're literal screams
yes.
in that effect. That mm-hmm. is so, I can't laugh hard enough at that.
Right.
The fact that the sound effect inside of the jump scare sound effect is someone going, ah!
it's something very surreal, but it's like if every joke was punctuated with like a, like really low in the mix. Oh. Like they set up a speaker somewhere in the theater yeah. and makes like set off a laughter. So the kind of,
yes, I as well. What's that weird
thing? I'm with you.
Do you ever like tune out or like you're hearing, you're watching something or it could be stand up or anything where you tune out or you look at your phone or something and everyone around you laughs and you don't even like mean to, like you want to retain your individuality and you know, you weren't paying attention,
right.
but you, for some reason, everyone starts laughing and you go, ha ha ha. I too was here and I am here and don't look at me.
I am not dead. I'm not dead. I guess that's really what it is. Desperately clinging on to. I thought you were going to say like when you're listening to a show and you hear the canned laughter and you focus on one person in the audience, yeah. you're like, who is this man?
Bah-ha-ha-ha!
Bah-ha-ha.
What the fuck is that?
Bah?
I wanted to talk about Harrison Ford and his performance and him being an interesting man out of time now. And like,
he didn't crash any planes in this
whole
movie.
Not one plane. Super disappointing.
Not even.
Not realistic enough.
Not using him to his full potential. Don't you know who I am? Who am I?
Don't you?
I don't know. I shouldn't be flying the plane.
Crashed very hard just then. I don't know. He's great. Like I do very much like him. I'm still like charmed by him, but he's one of those interesting ones. People who he has such an old style of acting that it's like, I'm sometimes too drawn towards him acting.
Right.
Like I know too much about him as a person, which is, you could say the same thing about a Ryan Gosling or anything, but still with him.
Ryan Gosling.
Old, what? Oh, Ryan Gosling. No, you could say that about Ryan Gosling, but like some people, it doesn't matter how many interviews I see of them or how familiar I am with their personality. I still like when I watch them
old
act,
man.
I feel like I'm watching a character, but he's just, I'm like aware that he
Gary
was on
man.
Set. Yeah. Yeah. Gary Oldman. But like, I know that he walked on the set and was just like, I'm going
to
wear
time
my,
to get a check.
My t-shirt is my costume. for this. Like, Harrison, it's time for your fitting. We have this really sick jacket. No, the t-shirt I slept in last night and I'm wearing today.
That's a Pink's hot dog. That's like a branded, that's a just Pink's an Adidas hot dog t-shirt. Like, it's a local restaurant.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
This was it.
We'll pack it in. It's time.
Plan. Look at that. We didn't need a guest. Look how we did.
Yeah, fuck guests. We're never having guests again.
No, we're done. This is it, man. Reasonable Beef has now become Reason B. I don't know. I was trying to get rid of like
one third, exactly. 1/3, 33.3333.
Welcome to Reason B.
Reason Bees. It's my,
Well, we're fucking dumb.
Dude, we need a guest.
We're really dumb.
See, this is why we need a guest. Because, like, there takes a certain amount of brain energy, and you need three people's worth. Because two people's worth, by minute 55, it's like...
Well, it's also like,
what if it was a grizzle bee? It was a razzle bees.
What if it's not a Blade Runner? It was Bob Robber. the old man down the street. Bob Robber.
It's good jokes.
But what it is when we have the guests, we look at them and we say, well, they don't think this is funny.
Yeah.
I think we can just, but we and you look at each other and we're like, this is great.
Keep going. Someone's laughing. Okay. Quick final thought. I think it's very beautiful. I think that there's a lot of people that this movie will be for. Fortunately, I'm not one of them. It just takes too long to say what it needs to say. And by the time it's done saying it, it's not that interesting to begin with. I actually found myself a little annoyed by the end of the movie going, you took that fucking long to say that. It's like a kid working. It's like, I'm making something real special for your birthday, Dad. And he takes him a full year and it's a fucking macaroni picture. It's like, wow, this is a great macaroni picture. You did a good job, but how dare you waste my time anticipating this bullshit that you just gave me.
You're gonna be a good dad.
Thank you. It meanders, doesn't meditate, and I mean, Ryan Gosling is he's in it. That's pretty good.
Sick. Oh god, I just realized when we're gonna do the critic. Two-headed critic.
It's gonna be good.
My final thoughts are is I definitely take issue with some of the pacing stuff. It felt a little like we get it sometimes. Didn't love some I could say there was a lot of dialogue that I thought was just kind of like flat. It wasn't like interesting. I didn't like how people worded stuff sometimes, which it has its point. But that being said, it is so it so strongly knows what it's up to, in my opinion, that I was just taken. It had me. It reached out its hand. It said, trust me, we're going to go for a little walk. And I trusted it and I liked the walk. I saw a lot of cool things. And by the end of it, felt weirdly affected.
Very long walk. I mean, we walked about three towns
and it was
across.
It was a walk where I was like,
down every street.
It was like, I know we're just on a walk right now. And I'm looking on my phone a little bit. But still, then randomly, I would see like a beautiful tree. And it would strike me in a way I didn't even anticipate, even though I knew I was going on a walk.
And then my guide would go, wah!
Yeah.
And I'd say, oh, okay. Cool. So I knew the scene just changed.
Good.
You're way off baseline.
You are way off baseline right now.
I'm just going to say, at the moment I heard that, I'm like this is going to be in my day-to-day things that I say to people.
It is a vernacular acquisition if I ever heard
one. Like when someone's not just like acting slightly in a different way that I want them to act. You're way off baseline right now. You need to fix the way you're speaking to me.
Just trying to decide where to go eat. No, I'm really feeling Chinese though, dude. We haven't really
a collection of cells. No, seriously, do you want to get a collection of cells?
You're way off baseline.
All right, I guess we're going to do two-headed critic off. Ryan?
Isn't.
Not.
The.
Main.
Character. All right, one more.
Solid, okay.
Harrison
Ford
wasn't.
Not.
The.
Supporting
character.
Hey, thank you so much.
This has been Reasonable Beef.
Hey, if you like this, please go to www.patreon.com. patreon.com/reasonablebeef. Give it you can. $5 gives you access to bonus beef, which is going up this week. We're going to have two episodes up this week. Wow. One will be up on Monday.
Yeah.
But it'll be Wednesday by the time you hear this. And then another one's going up next week. So it's going to happen.
I'm confused.
Give money. you'll be getting more content. Gonna be good.
We should start a Discord.
We have one.
Cool. Glad we figured that out.
I should. I'll put that up. I'll put it up in my link and in the Twitter profile, so you can click on that. Come chat with us. It's where all diehard beefheads go to
Is that
to,
what we call them?
Yes, to grow their protein.
Sick.
Okay. All right, Dom. You have anything to plug? Oh, when's Back School 2 coming out? Episode 2.
Like maybe it maybe will come out tomorrow night for okay. Patreon people.
So when Monday night, so you guys will it'll
maybe
already
see
be
it
out
Tuesday. Yeah, you'll have seen it. By,
okay,
by
so now. It's already out. Cool.
Yeah. How'd you like it?
Oh, it sucked. wasn't particularly good at all.
Yeah.
We're so burned.
Yeah.
We're done.
It took too much energy.
Good night, guys.